Welcome to Growing International, where you hear from educators like yourself, students, and experts in the field of international education on how to grow your study abroad programs and internationalize your campuses. I'm your host, Jody Littleton, a professor of communication and a study abroad coordinator for Parkland College. I couldn't do this show without the support of Parkland College, a community college located in Champaign, Illinois, as well as the Consortium of International Studies and Programs and the Community Colleges for International Development. Whew! With all that out of the way, let's get started. Hello, everyone. I am excited to have Jeff Bradshaw here, and he is the Dean of International Education at Madison Area Technical College. And Madison Area Technical College is also a member of the Community Colleges for International Development, also known as CCID. And the reason I asked Jeff to talk to me today is because he is familiar with a tool that the Community Colleges for International Development has, and it's called the Framework for Comprehensive Internationalization, which is a big mouthful, so I'm going to refer to it as the FCI. And so thank you so much, Jeff, for being here.
Well, thank you, Jody. Happy to be involved.
You could just give us a little bit of background about the Framework for Comprehensive Internationalization, or FCI.
Sure. So FCI is a tool that was developed by Community Colleges for International Development, or CCID, to assist colleges in assessing their comprehensive internationalization level. So it's a self-assessment tool with benchmarks that is designed to allow institutions to identify areas of excellence as well as areas that might need potential for growth. So there are 8 areas of international activity in this benchmarking tool, and each one of those has subscales that give more data. And each of those 8 areas identify some key aspects of comprehensive internationalization, and it allows institutions to rank themselves from seeking to building to reaching to innovating across that scale. And it's meant to be aspirational, and so very few, if any, institutions would be innovating in every scale, and some institutions may decide that some of those scales are just outside the scope of what they want to do for internationalization, but it allows them to focus on what are those areas of growth and what are areas of potential excellence. And the 8 areas of focus that it includes, just so you have a sense of what the document is, are leadership and policy, organizational structure and personnel, teaching and learning, co-curricular engagement, international student support, study abroad, professional development, and partnerships. And each of those 8 areas has then a series of sub-questions that people can self-assess on that scale and can be used to narrow in on specific activities or areas of focus.
And I think the name says it all, that it is very comprehensive. So I just want to put a quick note in here that if you would like to see this, I think, Jeff, you did a great job of verbally explaining it. But if you'd like to see the tool itself, I will put a link to it in the podcast description today. It is a great tool, and I know that you have used it personally and have talked to other schools about using it. Who do you think would benefit most from using FCI?
Well, it's a tool that can be used by anybody who is interested in assessing their progress or their current state of international activity. And it's an open resource tool, so anybody can access it online. It's especially useful for strategic planning. So if you're looking to identify areas that might need growth or process improvements or an investment of staff or resources, it can also be used to track progress over time. So, for example, I used it in conjunction with a Title VI grant to benchmark progress in some key areas that we were investing in the grant with a pre-post survey of key stakeholders to assess what were the answers at the beginning of the 3-year period and what were the answers at the end of the 3-year period to benchmark the progress that we made during that grant period. So really, it can be used by anybody for that. It could also be used by an individual office that might, an Office of Internationalization, an individual office might use that to just think about their annual strategic plan, for example, rather than it being used as a college-wide level. So in short, it's a flexible tool. It can be used by anybody who's really looking to assess where they might want to focus their emphasis in thinking about international education activity.
I really like it because I know that our college, and I think this is common for all colleges and universities, assessment is a huge part of what we do, and making sure, measuring what we're doing and thinking and discussing what we're doing is a big part for our accreditation purposes and also for our personal purposes. Like you said, even an office or an individual department could use this. So that's what I really like about this tool.
Yeah, and it can certainly be used as a more formal benchmarking within the institution as far as accreditation or other kinds of processes to say these are the goals that we're trying to achieve as the institution, and it provides some really useful tools and benchmarking of what are standards of excellence that you might aspire to as part of that process.
And I know you've done this in your own organization, and you've consulted with at least one other school on using the FCI. So talk to us a little bit about some of the things, the process that you went through as you were developing and using this in your own or other organizations.
Yeah, I've used it both in my own institution and then served as a consultant at two other institutions where we used this tool. I think it's important to say this is really flexible. There's no single way that it needs to be used. You can really use this in a variety of different ways. It was initially developed with the idea that it would be used as kind of a stakeholder interest session, with the idea that you would get all the key stakeholders into a room and spend a day or a half day retreat focused on international education. And you would go through all of these strategic areas, potentially in small group tables, talk about what were the strengths and weaknesses, why we rank ourselves in each of those areas, and then generate out of that some consensus about a strategic plan for the institution. And that can be a really effective way to engage key stakeholders at a college. And particularly if you're looking to influence senior administration who is already interested in internationalization, but think about, well, how do we focus? What are some of the areas? Having them involved in that process can be really valuable. More commonly than that single day retreat focus, though, I think it's probably just as useful as a benchmarking tool for an individual office to just sit down and say, okay, what are our areas of focus? Where do we think we are with that? Anybody who's an international education director or in a leadership role for international education can really look at this and think about, well, where are we at relative to this without having others in the college involved. You can just use that as a personal tool to think about that or work in a smaller group relative to those. And then another way that this has been used with one of the schools that we did is we turned it into a survey and entered all of the different scales into a SurveyMonkey survey and surveyed a broad audience of people to really get kind of an awareness benchmark of this. And so in addition to people who are actively involved in international education, to have a broader audience of people indicate where they think the college stands on this can really be eye-opening, because even if a college has some pillars of excellence, if the rest of the college doesn't understand them well or isn't actively engaged in them and ranks them lower than you're actually performing, then it's not necessarily about investing in process improvements or how to improve those. Then it is about communicating those areas of excellence to the rest of the college and engaging more people in understanding what is already happening around international education.
I really like that idea of the survey. That's excellent. I think you've already touched on this a little bit, but what do you feel like are the major benefits that you've seen from using FCI?
I think one of the benefits of it is that it's educational as well as an assessment tool. So by having this long list of standards of excellence in the field, it allows people to really see, well, what does excellence look like? And for people who may only be involved in a particular piece of this work, or for senior college leadership who are looking at this, seeing the whole document and really understanding that a comprehensive internationalization isn't just study abroad or isn't just international students, but is all of these eight indices, and that there's many sub-processes around all of those, can really be eye-opening in terms of thinking about what is the scope of engagement that needs to be involved in. So that's one piece, is that it's a value of learning about what the standards of excellence are in the field is useful for anybody. In addition, then, it's really designed as a tool for identifying areas of growth. Again, no institution will excel in all of these areas, but to go through this process and really answer this honestly and be self-reflexive about where do we really fall along some of these areas, can identify areas where you might have some simple quick wins where we can improve our work, or areas that where you might have bigger challenges ahead, and or even strategically say this might not be an area of focus that we want to emphasize at our institution. Maybe we're going to put our strengths in these areas rather than one or others of these, or this is really what it would take to get to this next level, which sometimes is a staffing issue. You know, we may not be able to get where we need to be unless the college is willing to invest in more staff to address some of these other abilities. And so it can be an argument for growing staff. It can be an argument for strategic areas of emphasis, but it's really useful for identifying those areas of growth. Can also be used to really identify areas of where you really have some standout best practices. Say, well, we really are doing well here, and maybe we need to publicize that, or you know, recognize and celebrate those areas of excellence within the college. And then, as we've already discussed, benchmarking tools, using this to either benchmark progress over time, using this as assessment standards relative to particular accreditation goals, communicating key indicators of progress to college leadership or the board. It's really useful in just pulling out some of the language of being able to say, well, here's some wording of what excellence looks like in that we might use and integrate in other documents in the institution.
I like all of those ideas. I love the flexibility of it and that idea that you can use it to not only focus on areas that you want to work on, but also reflect on the things that you're doing really well. So if a school was interested in using FCI, what advice would you have for them?
Well, first of all, the tool is freely available, and so I would encourage anybody who is involved in international education, advocacy, leadership, even if it's just a small part of your role at an institution, to just familiarize yourself with the tool. It can be eye-opening for yourself. It can give you some ideas about how to phrase strategic goals. So just familiarization with the tool and thinking about those benchmarks is kind of step one. And then as you think about ways that you might actually use the tool in as part of a process improvement, I think it's important to think about who needs to be involved in those conversations and what your ultimate goal and scope is. One drawback of the FCI document is that it is quite long to go through all of the pieces. And some people may have interests in some of those scales and not others. And so if you're going to do a really in-depth discussion and focus group around the document, you need to take some time around that, at least a couple of hours, if not a half day or longer, to really get into a meaningful discussion of all of those pieces. But if you think carefully about that scope, you might think about who really needs to be involved in all of those stages. And so maybe some smaller focus groups for an hour each with people on each of those eight areas, and one half-day session as a strategic planning session with the really essential key stakeholders who would be involved in planning and implementation might be more effective than trying to get everybody in a large room as I think it was kind of initially conceived as a document. Similarly, if you build it as a survey, there is some value in people seeing the whole list and really understanding the full comprehensive internationalization and all that it involves. But if you're asking people 50 questions, there's a certain amount of survey fatigue that goes into answering a longer survey. And for people who may not understand all of those answers, the data you get back, maybe, you know, its value may not be as rich as if you were surveying only people who really had some substantive understanding of the topics that you're involved. And so you might think about breaking it up, just like whether it's breaking up into focus groups, breaking up it into survey, you know, thinking about who needs to be involved in what pieces of the document. So that's one set of things around using the tool. If you're thinking about using the tools, think about scope and how, who needs to be involved. Another question is really thinking about facilitation of this. Often, if you're the person on your campus who is in charge of international education, it's difficult to facilitate this and be an active participant at the same time. And so having somebody else who's a designated facilitator, whether that's somebody on your own institution who might be, you know, involved in strategic advancement, who has facilitation skills, or whether that's an outside consultant who can, or an external evaluator who can come in and have these conversations and capture some of that information that allows whoever is involved as a key international education leader to be more freely involved in the discussion, can move this along faster and allow them to have more input into the process. Often also, I think there's a real value in bringing in somebody as a consultant that can both look at the institution from an outside perspective and maybe see some things from a new angle, where people who are at an institution may see things from a frame of, well, that's the way we've always done them, to think about, well, if we did things just this a little bit different, this is how it might be. But also bringing in somebody external often opens up the door to have some meaningful conversations with key stakeholders. So if you want to engage your college president, for example, in this, it may be harder to have the president be actively involved in a conversation with an international education unit or with a group of faculty. But if there's an external evaluator who's coming in, the president will probably make time, whether it's a half hour or an hour of that time, to meet specifically with that external evaluator to hear what they have to say. And that can be a good way to kind of leverage an audience with key people. Or similarly, board members. You'd certainly want to work with your college leadership before engaging anybody on your board. But it can be a way to have a conversation with board members about what their ideas are around strategic internationalization goals that they might not otherwise have unless you use this FCI tool and some sort of external evaluator, consultant, strategic process that invites them to be involved in some way. And lastly, again, once you've conducted this work, so one, sort of think about your scale of things, two, who's involved and how's it going to be facilitated. But then once you've collected that data and have something to work with, I think it's important to think about how you narrow your focus and what you can take on. So just as no college can be expected to excel in all of those eight categories, also no college can really be expected to grow in all of those eight areas all at once. And so you need to be sort of realistic about what can we focus on in a three-year plan? What are we going to focus on in this quarter? What are we going to focus on in this year? What are we going to focus on over 3 years? And maybe over those 3 years, you can capture all of that work. But if you're overly ambitious and try and tackle everything that's on the FCI document, you're probably going to spread yourself too thin.
From my understanding, what you're saying is from that very first part, maybe even at that point when you're as an international leadership looking over the document and kind of reflecting on it, and you said spend like a couple hours to a half a day, maybe at that point you even just narrow it down to maybe a few certain things that you think are important for your college and don't try to address the whole thing at once. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think there's... You might already know some of that going into it. And so you may look at some aspects of the document and say, well, our college doesn't even really do this, and this isn't an area that we want to do. And so you could just omit those questions completely when you conduct the process. Others might be, well, we're going to go through the whole process, but when we're doing focus groups and other kinds of things, this is what rose out of those as areas of focus. And so those are the ones we're going to focus on in our plan. And some of it may be, well, you collect all of that. It's hard to know. You know, there were several areas of focus that came out of the discussions. But as you think about the next step of moving from the SCI evaluation to developing a real strategic plan, you might need to narrow even further to say, these are the areas that we're really going to focus on at this time, and we'll come back later and look at some of the other areas that the FCI said we might need to grow in as well.
I think that's what I think is one of the big benefits of this particular document is that idea that it really does give you that big picture to look at for your internationalization efforts. So is there any other things that you would add as far as information about the FCI or any other pros, cons, drawbacks, positive things that you want to say about it?
Well, I think that one of the important things about this is that this document was developed specifically with community colleges in mind. And so as a community colleges for international development focus, there's a lot of other literature out there about strategic internationalization, but a lot of it really focuses on big universities. And so, you know, they're talking about branch campuses, sustainable development activities in other countries, other kinds of work like that, that may not be realistic at a community college level. And this document was really designed for community college comprehensive internationalization. And so that's one of the real advantages. I also think it's important to plug community colleges for international development for making this document available. This is a resource that was developed by an organization that supports community college internationalization by experts in community college internationalization, and it's freely available for anybody to use to think about how they can advance this work. And so a big thanks to all of the people in CCID who were involved in building this document and providing this resource to help raise the field at community colleges around the country.
I agree. That's a great advantage of CCID is they provide so much information, not only to their members, but in this case, to anyone who's interested in using this document. It is a public information. And I will put that link in our podcast information page so that people can access that if they'd like to. Well, thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're busy right now, as we all are, getting ready for the semester to start. And I hope that you have a great rest of the day.
Thanks for inviting me, and I'm always interested in helping other colleges think about how to move their internationalization forward, and so I'm happy to be involved in the podcast. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Thank you for listening. I hope you got some good information from today's podcast, and you will continue listening to Growing International. If you have any questions, please email me at jlittleton@parkland.edu. I'm always happy to talk to you online, so please send me any questions that you have. Also, I hope you continue listening to this podcast. We are hosted on Podbean, and also we are now on Spotify and Google. So again, thank you so much, and catch you later.